I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good Sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Barry Sraluga joins us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. What up, Barry? How are you, man?
Good, man. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are, dude. What, as a guy that covers it all but understands football is king, where do you land kind of today, tomorrow, Wednesday, as NFL free agency breaks out?
You know, for me, and I talk about this with Dan Steinberg, my editor, all the time. It's like, what's the threshold to write something? And it, you know, it would definitely be like the Commanders trade for Myles Garrett. Would it be the Commanders trade for DK Metcalf? Probably. You know, I mean, obviously those things aren't going to happen now, but that's the kind of discussion you have, is like, there's some sort of threshold that, you know what a column smells like. And you know, frankly, it wasn't releasing John Allen the other day, because that was pretty, if you could see that one coming. If it was unexpected, or they landed a marquee piece, then I think I'd sit right down and start banging something out.
If they trade for Hendrickson, that gets you typing, right?
Yeah, I think so, man. I mean, it's a dynamic player at a, you know, a spot that they need dynamic players, right? And you know, it would kind of put a stake in the ground on where they think this defense is going. So I think that one moves the needle. Jerry Brewer wrote when they did the Debo trade, that made a lot of sense to me. We got a lot of people who can dip their hands in this thing if need be. I'd probably sit out the, like, Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh. If somebody else wanted to do that, that's fine. I got a lot cooking with Ovechkin coming up here too, so my head's a little bit spinning in a lot of different directions.
And he keeps you. He's gonna keep you into it.
Good Lord, man! I mean, it is crazy. And I don't. If you guys want to talk football, I'm happy to talk football. But I also,
Barry, we talk everything.
We want to talk everything, dude.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all been said, but it doesn't mean it's not all just jaw dropping. Like, he's 39 years old. He has 33 goals in 48 games. I mean, that's ahead of his career pace, a career pace that is going to make him the all-time leading scorer. And he's now kind of, you know, could it be delayed over the summer? It could, but if he keeps the pace that he's on, he's going to break it April 6th against the Islanders. That's like 2 weeks from the end of the season. It just is dizzying, and he's doing it. Yeah, I know yesterday's was an empty netter, but it was like a backhand off the boards through a guy's legs, empty netter. He's doing it in all sorts of fashions, and he's doing it on a team that is still in the running to be the President's Trophy winner as the best regular season team in the sport. I just continue to be dumbfounded that these storylines, like this awesome pursuit at a dizzying pace on a team that is going to enter the playoffs as one of the short lists for favorites to win the whole thing. I can't believe those stories have married up.
with the Caps, I mean, how much has it worked that the team's really good and Ovi's really good, and they're both just kind of pushing each other forward? Because
we
all thought this was kind of going to be a down year, and it would just be about Ovi getting the record.
Well, so I'd say a couple things. Like, last year, they struggled to score goals as a team, and he struggled to score goals, period. I mean, he had 8 goals through 43 games, and then he really, really turned up the pace the second half of the season, and that was a big part of them kind of willing their way into the playoffs on the final night. But that team, I mean, it had to scratch and claw to win games 2-1, 3-2. You talk about this year, you know, thinking it was going to be a down year. I didn't think that it was going to be down like last year, like scratching for the last playoff spot, because they did such an amazing roster overhaul in the summer. And even if you didn't know the names of Jacob Chychrun and Matt Roy and Pierre-Luc Dubois, and if you weren't familiar with them, like, they made these moves for a reason, and they checked every box. I thought they were going to be very much comfortably in the playoffs. There's zero chance I thought that they would be, atop the East and threatening to be the President's Trophy winner. But I will say, in talking to Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick, the front office people, and Spencer Carberry, the coach, before the season, one thing I was on was this, that if Alex Ovechkin was going to score the 42 goals that he needed to pass Gretzky this season, then they were going to have a good team and a good season, because those things do go hand in hand. Like, he's more engaged this year because the team is good, the team can score, he can score, and it all is one awesome package. That he would do it when he missed 16 games in the middle of the year is insane to me. But I think this was having a good season was a little bit more foreseeable when you considered all the roster changes they made in the offseason. It really did an amazing job of threading every needle.
And I think also, like you said, all those players that they signed, you know, they are performing at a level, and he hadn't seemed like he's dropped off very much.
Which is crazy, Brian. And you look at it a lot of different ways, and this is going to be a historic season for a player his age. You know, he turns 39 in September.
Yeah.
You know how many goals Wayne Gretzky scored after his 39th birthday?
How many?
That would be zero.
Really?
Like, he didn't play. He retired in his age 38 season. And his last year was with the Rangers. He played 70 out of the 82 games that year, and he had 9 goals. I mean, if you look at, go back Gretzky's last 7 seasons, here are his goal totals: 11, 23, 15, 8, 25, 23, and 9. So he did this in a completely different way than Alex did. He front-loaded his career in the wide-open, freewheeling 80s with seasons that look like video game numbers. I mean, 1981-82, 92 goals and 120 assists. Like, that's wow. Not physically possible. You know, he had 71 goals, 87 goals, 73 goals, like seasons that Ovechkin never produced in an era that's much different. But Alex's last 7 seasons are the following totals: 51, 48, 24, that's a shortened season, COVID-shortened season, 50, 42, 31, and now 33 in only 48 games. Like, he's done it in the very consistent, I score 40 goals a year regardless of what my age is, whereas Gretzky was like this incredible, like, just a decade of insanity, and then good but not, like, super-duper prolific from a goal-scoring perspective later in his career.
What? For uninformed, I just didn't watch hockey in the early 80s. I was barely born in the early 80s. I know the goalies wore a lot less padding. What else was so different about it that it was that much more wide open?
Yeah, so there was a lot. So goalies, not only the less padding, but they were just physically smaller people, and the style was not, the butterfly style had not been developed and been used widely. It was more you slide onto your hip and save things like that. It's just there were more holes for sure. There were rules that made it different as well. And you could argue that Ovi is now playing in with some rules that make it easier. There was no 3-on-3 overtime back in the day. That's kind of wide open. You can score in that way. There were times when they didn't do matching penalties and create a 4-on-4 situation. Again, that's a little more wide open, makes it a bit easier to score. But the numbers show that, and I've done so many numbers on this stuff that I'm going to misremember, but something like I did a thing that's like 7 or 8 of Gretzky's prime seasons, like the prime of his career, say the average score of an NHL game was, it was like 4.5 to 3.5. And those same age, prime age seasons for Ovechkin, the average score was like 3.5 to 2.5. And so if there's two fewer goals per game, that just indicates it's harder. He is doing it at a time mm-hmm. when it is harder to score, which I'm not in any way saying that Alex Ovechkin is a better hockey player than Wayne Gretzky, but he's doing it at a different time in a different way with in a different set of circumstances.
I think it just gets to the point where, you know, you can't blame them for what the rules were at that time, because if Ovi played in that day with less padding, who's to say how many goals he scored? Because a lot of times you can see those extra pads knock stuff out. If he was playing back then, they may go in. You never know.
Yeah, and
so both of them had an advantage at certain points, but hell, they were both great.
And if Gretzky were playing now, he'd figure out a way to do the same.
Yeah,
I mean, you would have adjusted to eras. I do think it's really, really interesting, and I'm putting together a piece on this now, that the compare and contrast with these two, who are going to end up with very, very, very similar career numbers from a goal scoring perspective, is like, I can't figure out one similarity they have other than their ability to put the puck in the net. Gretzky was a smaller guy. He survived by being almost impossible to deliver a direct hit on, because he had a little quickness that you didn't understand. He was shifty. He rarely took a heavy check, and that was also part of the era. And Ovi arrived from his very first shift in his first game, plowing some dude into the boards,
right,
and breaking, you know, knocking out the glass to cause a delay in the game. And he essentially has played all of his shifts since that way, since that time, in the exact same way. He's just like bowling people over. Gretzky, amazing distributor as a center. I mean, I think of some of the most, you know, the long list of incredible stats with him is, if you take away all of his 894 goals from his point total, he still is the all-time NHL point person, because he had 1,963 assists. So, and Ovi, of course, is, you know, he's a winger. He's not a distributor of the puck. He doesn't run the offense. He receives the offense. It's just the two different cats, but I talked to Gretzky last week, and you know, they have enormous respect for each other, and it's just going to be a really cool thing when Gretzky joins, you know, the team, and is traveling as Alex gets closer to the record.
It's going to be crazy. Talking with our friend Barry Svrluga here from the Washington Post. You can follow his work at Barry Svrluga, Svrluga. Barry joins us via the Rude guest hotline. Rude is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Let's do a little college hoops, man. Terps' best season in years. They get the double bye in the Big Ten tournament. They don't play till Friday night. You and I were texting about them last week, both probably when we were watching the Michigan game. You're a believer in that team.
You know, I think like a lot of people, JP, I'm a real believer in the starting five, and that's because I think any one of those five can beat you on a given possession or on a given night. Like, they've all led the team in scoring. Derek Queen is obviously the elite talent, even though he's not close to a finished product. But, you know, it's tournament time. It's March, and they are very, very susceptible to foul trouble, or, you know, they're healthy now, but if they had an injury, that would be really, really problematic in a way that it might not be for another team. So are they vulnerable on a given night? Every team is vulnerable on a given night, but I like the way they play because they can defend. they can score. Last year was just like, it was almost like the Caps. It was like painstaking to wring a single basket out of them, and now they've got five guys who can put it through the hoop. So maybe I'm not like bullish for them to make, you know, like an Elite Eight run, but I think the pieces are there, and I think if you're scouting them, and Tom Izzo, I worked the Michigan State game, like, he said they're a hard team to prepare for because they can come at you from so many different angles. So I'm excited about Maryland basketball being relevant heading into March in a way that they really haven't been for quite a while. And that you're positioning yourself to, you know, almost hoping or expecting like a second weekend, which has been a long, I think it's been 2016 since that happened. And that was, you know, the Diamond Stone team that that just got blown out of the water by Kansas in the Sweet 16. So really hopeful that something, you know, as exciting and maybe even more competitive that second weekend can happen for these guys.
Is the depth good enough for them to make a run?
I mean, that's the problem, Brian. Like, they can make a run because I think that they're talented enough on both ends of the floor on a given night. But, you know, if they do run into foul trouble, then they have a problem instantly. I will say, and this is getting really into the nitty-gritty, like the timeouts in the NCAA tournament are longer because they want more commercial time. That benefits a team that needs the five primary players to get as much rest as possible while they're, you know, while they're during those timeouts. So I don't think it's crazy to think that the format in the tournament is a little bit in Maryland's favor. And this is all, you know, it's all, they are thin enough on the bench that if they run into foul trouble with one or two guys in a given game, then everything can collapse. And it almost doesn't matter what the round or the opponent is.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Now, Barry, I did see Lenardi's latest projection had a setup for a Maryland-Duke Sweet 16 game in Newark, New Jersey. And
how great would that be?
Oh, my God.
You want to go with us?
I mean, I'll be there for sure.
I imagine you'll have to work that one.
I would be working that, yes, for absolute sure. And just to be clear, I mean, my fandom for Duke basketball lasted until about the day I graduated, because not too long thereafter I was the beat writer covering North Carolina for the paper in Raleigh, and then I came here to be the beat writer covering Maryland in the ACC with Gary Williams. And if, you know, Gary Williams got any idea that I was like some sort of Duke fan, like our relationship would have ended fairly quickly.
Did he know you were a Duke alum?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. He knows. I mean, he'd give you, you know, Gary, like, he'll give you grief for anything. But he's the best. I love running into him at Xfinity Center and catching up. Survived because the Blue Devil blood, whatever was in me, was drained a long time ago.
I have told all my employers that if that game happens, I am not working it. I'm 100% a fan for the evening.
Or the product that they get won't be good, huh?
Yeah, or you're going to have to really edit that thing. Dude, what are the chances? I will be live at Bender Arena Wednesday night for AU Navy Patriot League Final for NBC4. What are the chances I'll see you there?
It's like 5%, I think. I've
don't got, let DA hear this.
Well, no, I know. I've got.
Well, you know, logistically,
I've got a ski vacation next week, which I'm very, very nervous about because, you know, Ovi's getting closer and I've got a bunch of stuff I need to do before to get in position to roll out as he gets closer to the record. So I'm getting a little nervous that I'm going to be in Colorado.
Is this
like freezing?
A nice hotel.
Approaching it.
A very nice hotel in Beaver Creek.
That's correct. That's where I'm at.
Well,
should be good.
That's what you work for, dude. So enjoy that.
Enjoy it, brother.
I will. I appreciate it.
That's our guy, Barry Svrluga. Give him a follow at Barry Svrluga. Barry joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Thank you, Barry. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Right. Yeah, man.
That's our guy, Barry. Great job covering the Caps right now, college hoops, all of it. That dude can write about anything and do it really, really well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I wanted to talk about this earlier. Obviously, there's been a lot of free agency stuff. I saw this tweet from Zach Leonsis this morning, and I'm sure a lot of people had to put a lot of work into getting this done, including folks at the league and ESPN and TNT and everything else. But we've been calling for it. A lot of folks have.
You first heard it here.
First heard it here.
Hell yeah. They took our thing and ran with it. It's supposed to. That's cool with it.
However the sausage got made, I just want the sausage made. I'm reading now from Leonsis on Twitter. He said, "We want to ensure that Caps fans can listen to their hometown announcers' call of Ovi's record-breaking achievement, which is why we've come to an agreement with the NHL to produce our own monumental broadcast during the four exclusive nationally telecast games remaining this season for archival purposes and real-time clips on social media." So, we have the technology. Let's do this, man.
Do it.
And I don't know the specifics, what this means, if you can watch it in real time or they'll just have it immediately after, or if it's like they just have a stream and if you want to watch a game on TV, it's ESPN or TNT or whatever. But, like, I'm just happy that enough grown-ups, intelligent folks came to the table and said, yo, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
Joe B should call that goal.
It doesn't hurt anything, but what it would hurt if you don't have Joe or some level of that, game being called locally, because everybody don't have where it's going to be. You want to hear it from the person you hear all the time. And I think it makes a world of difference.
Dude, I do too. And I love Walton, and I don't want to take anything away from Walton. The radio call is awesome. But, you know, I also think there could be a deep playoff run accompanying this regular season Ovi thing. And we know in the playoffs it's going to be Walton clips that are the most memorable because Joe B and Locker don't call those games. So I'm just so happy for something that is a regular season record. We're going to have Joe B. I imagine, especially Brian, you and I know Joe. Mm-hmm. He's got to be thrilled.
He is.
Now, he'll be cool about it, but he's got
to
be.
He actually, when we talked to him and we mentioned it to him, what we were thinking, you could hear the excitement in him. He said, oh, man, that would be great. Right. And all of a sudden, it's down. And now it's there. So,
I am really glad a common sense approach was able to be figured out for this thing. And whenever it comes that we'll get to hear Joe B on the call, the Caps are back tonight. It's late. They got a 3-game Cali swing. They're in Anaheim tonight, then L.A. Thursday, then San Jose on Saturday. So as much as the travels, whatever, you got to go out west, the fact that it's 3 games in California over, you got to figure they went out there yesterday, right?
I guess.
I would think, right, you're not flying today to play tonight.
No, they probably went yesterday.
It's 3 games in Cali, but you've been out there now. You get a week to do it, maybe even Monday to Sunday. The travel's not that killer. There's no back-to-backs on there. Mm-hmm. I think the tough part is tonight's at 10, Thursday's at 10:30. If Ovi drops 5 goals over the next 2 nights, a lot of folks are going to be asleep.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, it'll be playing on Miami Miller the next day.
Right. Well, and I don't think he's going to score 9 over the next 2. If Hell, he does, it'd be incredible.
What if he does that and say, you know what, let me show y'all who's the greatest.
Right. It's wild as this thing gets closer, dude, because it just becomes that much more and more real. Honestly, just cutting it to single digits, and we've been watching this closely for a while now, cutting it to single digits makes it feel that much more inevitable, I think.
Yeah. It's at 8 to tie, 9 to break, right?
Right.
When that thing gets into that, when it gets 8 to break, him being number 8.
That's pretty cool.
It's going to be on and popping then, bro. It's one more.
I mean, it's kind of all, to me, it's there.
It's been on and popping ever since he got close, but I mean, since he got to 20-something in my book. When he hit 30, I thought it was on and popping. I love that number 30. But when it hits 8, it's going to become a little more special. That's when you find out how the players care about the numbers. You find a way to get your number involved.
Jacob Chychrun joins us every single Wednesday, presented by our friends at IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Chychrun, one of the top goal scorers in the National Hockey League on the blue line, was a big part of last night's 7-4 Capitals win, a shootout victory against the Ducks. Alexi Protas with a hat trick, and we now welcome Jacob onto the show on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jacob, what a win in a barn burner last night, huh?
Yeah, it was. That's a team that's playing really well this year, and I think they got a lot of high-end talent, and they're just getting better and better each year, so it's nice to see them kind of turn things around. You know, I played against them a lot when I was with Arizona, and I think they're a team that's gotten a lot better since then, so they had they played pretty well, and we had to find a way to continue to put the puck in the net, and it was nice to get the win there.
Jacob, you guys win in so many different ways, right? You can win those barn burner, fire wagon games like last night. You're winning 1-0, 2-1 when it takes a defensive shutdown performance as well. Can you tell right away on a night like last night where there's 4 goals in the first several minutes that it's going to be like that all night long, or does that change oftentimes?
It's tough to say. I mean, I feel we haven't played in too many of those high-scoring shootouts, at least in a while. I mean, I think early in the season, it's more, prone to happen just because of, you know, teams aren't playing quite as tight as we head into the final stretch. I think, you find as the year goes on, there's tighter games, teams checking a bit tighter, defending harder. And I think, last night was obviously a bit different. I think down the stretch, so we're probably going to see more of those tight scoring games than I think last night, even after the first, I thought things would settle in a little bit. Every game's unique, and I just think that was just the way she went last night.
Jacob Chychrun of the Capitals, weekly appointment on Grant and Danny, presented by IT Cadre. You got the puck in the defensive zone at one point with the empty net last night, and I mean, in the split of a second, you had fired the puck over toward Ovi off the body. Are we in that mode now where you're just trying to get the puck to the big man?
Yeah, in those moments, I think everybody's trying to see where he is on the ice. At least when there's an empty net, guys really want to try to get him the puck. So,
although I'll say, Jacob, last night he had a chance probably if he skates the puck up ice to get a goal, and he passed the puck to Protas for his first ever hat trick, which I thought was selfless and awesome and really speaks to the quality of the dressing room and the leadership that he provides. That was a good moment.
Well, for sure. If you weren't giving it to Ole, you were giving it to Pro last night. So, it was nice to see Pro get his first hattie, and I think that'll be the first of many for him.
It's incredible what he's become. Now, I'm really stunned, frankly. Not that I didn't think he was a good player, because I think we all knew he had a lot of talent. But he's been one of the better players in the league. If you look at even strength production, he's top eight in points and goals right now. He doesn't get any time on the power play, and yet he's still going to score 30 goals this season. He's at 27, 28 right now after last night. And, I mean, he's doing all of it at even strength. And this was a guy a year ago that needed to work on his skating, and now he can fly. Like, what do you make of just the growth year to year? I know you weren't here last year, but you've seen him play.
Yeah, it's really impressive. I mean, I couldn't tell you much about, his game last year, but just, hearing from the guys, I mean, the progress he made this summer is just incredible. I mean, we should have our whole team go work with whoever he was working with this summer. I mean, I think it's awesome that he has been able to, go from the year he had last year to this year. I mean, he's becoming just a, I don't want to use the word elite because it's a big word, but he's really getting to the point where he's becoming a stud. And it's just, fun to watch. It's fun to watch him on the ice every day and working at the little parts of his game. And he's getting rewarded in a big way. I mean, he's been incredible for us. So really important player for us.
Three of the Caps, 7 goals last night as he hunts down 30 for the first time in his career. He'd never scored more than 6 in a season before this, but he has become one of the best even-strength skaters in the National Hockey League. We're talking right now to Jacob Chychrun, a couple of moments left with the star Caps defenseman. How about Anthony Beauvillier's first goal with the team last evening coming over from the trade deadline? If you don't mind giving me a thought on just how he's fit into the room and to the bottom six as well, but then also that was a hell of a move. Showed some speed, nice little hands finish. Not too shabby for a first goal.
I think, he's a guy, he has a lot of skill. I mean, that's something we know he brings to the table. It's funny, we get pre-scout on the goalies every night, and we get some video on them, and there was a few shootout moves by Bo that were literally the exact same as that, as his goal last night. So, I thought he played really well. He's fitting great to the room. It's an easy room to come in and be a part of. We welcomed him with open arms, and I think he's been a great addition. So I think last night, you kind of saw him open up a little bit and, play his game. I think he snapped back a couple of draws when he had to, and he was really skating well and getting on the forecheck, and obviously a really big goal at a big time. So, it was a good night for him.
You guys have more come-from-behind wins this year, Jacob, than games where you haven't come from behind to win, which is a pretty stunning stat. But, you know, there's never any questioning this team, best third-period team in hockey, or the fight as the game goes on. But I'm just curious, when you have such a big lead in the division and you're sitting atop the conference with a cushion, is there any challenge to just not, you know, at this point, still like 15 or whatever games away from the playoffs, not coasting a little bit until the very stretch run, or is that an easy thing to overcome with veterans in the dressing room?
Yeah, I don't think that's really an issue. I mean, you know, we're motivated by, you know, obviously what's coming up in the postseason, and you know, you want to be clicking and firing on all cylinders, you know, by that time, when that time comes. So, you know, I think we have plenty of motivation to keep this thing going. I mean, we just feel how, you know, special this group is, and we have an opportunity in front of us that would be, you know, we just need to stick together and continue to push in the right direction. You know, you just can't get complacent in this league. There's, you know, teams that are fighting, you know, every night for a spot. And, yeah, I mean, we're a group that hasn't had many, I don't think we've had any, you know, dud games this year where we, you know, have a really, really off night. And I think that's also a very impressive thing because it's such a long year. And for us to be playing as consistent as we are is very hard to do. So, you know, we just got to keep this thing going. And, you know, hopefully come the postseason, we'll be, you know, ready to go and playing our best hockey.
Yeah, stockpiling wins as they come down the stretch here. At the Kings tomorrow night, 10:30 back here East time, and then at the Sharks before you're back home this coming Tuesday to take on the Red Wings. With a day off today out west, I'm sure it's beautiful. I mean, do you guys get to get outside and enjoy some camaraderie here? What's it like on the road out west at a decent time of the year?
Yeah, it's always nice being in the, you know, warm weather, and I think we had a really nice day on Monday. The weather was beautiful and in Orange County, and you know, guys were able to, you know, head towards the beach and, you know, grab lunch and be together. So it was really nice. Today's a little bit cloudy. Looks like it might rain, so we'll see. But it's still nice to you know, get outside and enjoy the day off. I think these days are always nice for the boys to recoup a little bit and get together and hang out on the road and just be with one another. And yeah, we're happy to have these days off here for sure.
Well, go get some much deserved rest and some enjoyment out in the sun with the fellas, and we will catch up soon, Jacob. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Jacob Chychrun of the First Place Capitals, right here on your flagship home for Caps Hockey, 106.7 The Fan, every single Wednesday, presented by IT Cadre. Trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make their best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose.
Welcome back to the Junx on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Say good morning to Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com for details. Good morning, Coach Carbs. How are you?
Very well. Good morning, guys.
Good, good. Thanks for waking up extra early out on the West Coast. That is much appreciated.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked to you since the one-trick pony controversy erupted last week.
Yeah, get him in the dirt.
And, Coach, we know that you're paid to coach the Washington Capitals, not to comment on what broadcasters have to say about your team and your players, but I'm sorry, when Darren Pang takes a swipe at the greatest player to ever wear a Washington Capitals sweater, like, the fans certainly responded. We as media responded. What was your reaction to those comments during the Caps-Rangers game, which, by the way, was a Caps win at Madison Square Garden? Just want to point that out.
So I haven't heard, I still haven't heard the comments from Panger, but read about them. And then I think because we sort of get to know some of the commentary people that do it along the lines, like we talked to them before the game, they asked for information, this and that. So he actually sort of clarified it with one of our assistant coaches, Kirk Muller, who he has a relationship with, and he was like, that it came out totally wrong, I didn't mean it like that. So I think it was just one of those moments on live TV where he's sort of trying to explain something and it didn't come across very clearly. I know Darren Pang, good dude, respects the hell out of OV, so I think it was just a sort of came out wrong situation of the way that...
You guys are too nice. I'd send Willie over there and beat his ass. That's what I'd do.
No, he's a good man. He's a good man.
All right.
Well, he was definitely setting up video, and it was highlighting that you've put him in different situations. But as EB has said, you don't throw a term out like one-trick pony with any intention but to diminish somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where, like, you know, the using that phrase when it comes to Ovi, especially because he has scored so much from one spot, so now all of a sudden your antennas are up. Like, yeah. Is that meant to say that he can only score in one way? And I think he was trying, and this is what he explained to Kirk, was he was trying to articulate that he's actually been scoring in different ways this year and right. Actually not scoring as much as he used to from the left elbow on the power play. And I don't think it came out in the most clean way.
So, especially given what's happened recently, why can't a guy like Protas, why can't he get into the power play?
It's a good question. Really good. And I'll tell you why. So, 2 weeks ago, we actually decided, you know what, it's time. Pro has earned the opportunity to get on the power play. We got to work him on here. He's having a phenomenal year. He's one of our best offensive players. We have to get him out there and utilize him on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
We did that, and the reason that we hadn't done it earlier and the reason that we ended up going away from it pretty quickly after two games is Pro has done such an amazing job this year with his conditioning and his ability to play 17, 18 minutes of quality 5-on-5 and penalty kill minutes. He's done an amazing job, and he worked really hard this summer to get himself, because it was an issue last year, him being able, because he's such a big guy and he skates so well, but he needs to play with a lot of pace. He needs that because he's so dominant as a big man when he's skating and moving his feet. So he has grown so much in that department over the summer to this year. Okay. So we were very reluctant to add minutes to him and put him on the power play because we felt like it would take away from what he's done at such a high level, 5-on-5 and penalty kill. And when we did that, the two games that, and again, like, Pro's going to play on the power play. It's only a matter of time. It's just right now we really feel like utilizing him 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill, and with how he's played this year, we just want him to focus on that and not overload him so that it's taken away from his 5-on-5 and penalty kill, if that makes any sense.
We're joined by Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. So we should give a hat tip to Pro for his first hat trick that he got against the Ducks. So that's great. But I couldn't believe, I think it was in the game prior, where Pro's brother, Ilya, who's also a draft pick of the Capitals, was in attendance because he had a break from the Windsor Spitfires. That's a great name, by the way. I love that team name. When they flashed his stats, I had to do like a triple take, coach. Like, I couldn't, I kept looking at the screen. I was like, 58 games played, 46 goals, and 66 assists.
Pretty good.
112 points in 58 games played. And yeah, we've heard you talk about it and Pro talk about it, where Pro is like, he's like, my brother's just better than I am. He's just a more skilled offensive player. So you just have to be licking your chops to get your hands on this guy as he develops, because he's going to be up with the big club sooner rather than later if he keeps putting up numbers like that.
Well, I think Big Pro, too, is he's really going to make it difficult with the season that he's having on Little Pro. Big, big shoes to fill, but he's having a phenomenal year, and he's caught the junior hockey circuit by surprise because you don't see, or it's very rare for a player that's picked in the third round of the NHL draft to be as dominant as he is and have the season that he's had in the OHL, which is one of the best junior leagues in the world. So that, and the season that he's had and his growth and progression, we're really excited about him in the organization. And there's a reason, right? It's him. We know Pro so well, and we've gotten to see his development path over the last 5 years. And so you feel really, really comfortable drafting a sibling and feeling like he's going to reach his max potential. And he's off to a real good start in his junior career in the OHL.
So, Coach Carberry, I stumbled on a statistic that I wanted to ask you about. You guys are second in the league in third period goals, and you did it again in the latest contest with 4 goals in the third period. What is it about the third period? Are you just great at making adjustments? I'm sure you want to have better starts. Explain what's happening here in the third period.
I think that's where majority of nights, whatever's gone on in the first and second period, I feel like standing on the bench and after what's gone on in the first and second and some of the adjustments that we've made or some of the things that we've talked about as a group, I think that's the 20 minutes where our guys really, really buckle down and you see the true, and I've talked about this a lot this year, the true character of our group shows in flying colors. And that's really all it is the third period, the game is on the line. That's when the game is essentially decided, whether it's tied, whether we're up a goal, whether we're trailing by one, whatever the scenario on the scoreboard, you're going to see our character come out and how badly our guys want to win and get the job done in all these different situations on the ice. And so I think it's just a stat that reflects how badly our guys want to deliver and get the job done, essentially.
So, Coach, Pierre-Luc Dubois, ho-hum, another three-point night in Anaheim, just standard fare for him. He reaches the 40-assist mark for the first time in his career. Do you laugh at some of like what the pundits were saying when you acquired Luc Dubois, that this guy's going to wear out his welcome? I can't believe what the Caps are paying this guy to bring him in, and he's been a revelation.
Yeah, he was phenomenal in the Anaheim game. And he has been all year, and I don't know. I don't really look back because I didn't know either. You know, I've seen him coached against him. Obviously, we did a lot of homework before the trade. But you still don't know. Like I don't know how it's going to go. I've never met him, so I don't know. But once he got to Washington, even early in training camp, that's maybe the one thing that was a little bit different than other trades or players that you coach. Like, I had a feeling and knew very, very early on that this is going to work really well for our organization and for our team because of just the work ethic, his commitment, the conversations having of his path and how motivated he was and all the different things, the skill set, watching film with him and then seeing him in training camp and through. I was really, really confident early on that Doobie was going to be a really, really successful player for our team this year.
And Coach, another cool thing about that deal is on the other side, the Caps sent Darcy Kuemper to the Kings to get Luc Dubois here. And this is one of those rare trades where both parties seem to have won. Luc Dubois has been awesome here in Washington, and Darcy Kuemper has resurrected things in L.A., and that's your next opponent. He's second in the league in goals against at 2.29. He's 91.5% save percentage. So, like, he's really rebounded, while Luc Dubois has paid huge dividends here as well.
Yeah, and those are, honestly, as a coach, it's sort of weird to say this because we always – you know, I look at other sports and like when you evaluate trades, you want someone to win a trade. You want someone to, and you know, it's healthy debate and good conversation. But when I'm looking at it, I'm happy for Kemp, having coached him, having known the person, and he's having a great year. And you're exactly right. It's both teams benefited. And that's whether it's a change of scenery or needs. And that, I think, goes in. They needed a goaltender. We really needed a top six centerman, it worked for both sides. It's the same thing with the Jacob Chychrun, Nick Jensen trade. Nick Jensen's been great for the Ottawa Senators. They needed more of a stay-at-home defensive guy. We needed an offensive guy that could run a power play, get up in the rush, use his skating, had a great shot. It worked for both sides. So a couple of really good examples of trades being able to help both teams in those situations.
Coach Carberry, last one for you. Does the President's Trophy mean something to you? Is it something that you're chasing? So it's either going to be you guys or Winnipeg, I guess. And what happens if it's a tie in points at the end of the season? Do you split the trophy? Like, what happens?
Good question.
Let me answer for you. It doesn't mean anything. We've won them a million times. It never helped us. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I don't think I've never mentioned it one time. Haven't really thought about it. Don't know the tiebreaker.
Right.
Don't really care.
Yeah, I honestly...
I mean, there's some pride in it, obviously, but beyond that, it doesn't mean anything, right?
Yeah, like, we want to... It's not going to change our mindset of, like, we want to go out and win as many games as we possibly can and play well till game 82. And so if that means that we finish with the best record, great. We would love that because, you know, we're going to try to play well in these last, whatever, we've got 15 games left or 17 games left. But I don't think it's like something that we're talking about or a goal or achievement of, hey, we want to get to this. It's yeah, that's not something that's on the table for us.
Coach Carberry, again, thanks for carving out some time on that West Coast swing. Best of luck with the remaining two games, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, sounds good. Have a great week, guys.
Yeah, you thank too. You, Coach.
That's Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care, centered around one thing, you. Visit cfaortho.com for more details.
Joining us now via the Rude Guest Hotline is our boy Ethan Cadeau. Ethan covers the Caps and the Commanders for Monumental Sports Net. You can give him a follow at Ethan_Cadeaux, C-A-D-E-A-U-X. EC, what's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, man? Just watching some early college basketball, but happy to join.
All right. We are happy to have you. What happened last night in L.A.? That is not the result. So it's funny, my daughter, this morning at breakfast, she's like, Daddy, did the Caps win? And I was like, you know what? I haven't checked yet, because she knows all the games when they're happening. But last night was just too late for us. It was a 10:30 puck drop, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's too late for me.
Okay. Well, I imagine you had to go watch it this morning. So tell me what happened.
Oh, I was up. I was up last night.
Oh, were you? Okay.
I wish I went to bed. yeah, it was the first time they got shut out since, I'm pretty sure, either late October or early November, whenever Vasilevsky down in Tampa, that was the last time they got shut out. The Kings just play really sound defense and they don't make mistakes. The Caps really didn't have possession of the puck very often all night. Ovechkin had zero shots on goal for the first time all season. They just really couldn't get into rhythm. It wasn't like they didn't have their chances. It just they really didn't look like the normal team, winners of five straight. They didn't look like that all night. And credit to the Kings. I mean, Darcy Kuemper shut out his former team, but the Caps just looked off from the beginning. Didn't even generate one expected goal, one of the analytics Spencer Carberry uses a lot. So, yeah, that just tells you how bad it was last night.
Yeah, that'd just be the sixth game in a row. I mean, they won five of them. They're on the road now out west. Can it just be that, chalked up as that?
Definitely. I mean, I'm not concerned about this team at all, and luckily for them, they play the Sharks tomorrow, who are arguably the worst team in the league and give up a hell of a lot of goals. So
come on, Ovi, get eight of them.
He might get more than one. That would be my prediction. But I mean, he's obviously hungry. They last night was not a game any of them want to look back on fondly, but I think the good thing is they play in 24 hours at this point and should be able to pick up another 2 points tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, San Jose's bad, huh? They have 45 points. The Caps have, like, what, 88?
94,
rather? Right. Wow. I mean, that is bad. So are the Caps and the Jets tied right now for the President's Trophy?
I didn't check the standings last night, but I believe they are tied, yes.
And they have a game coming up, right? Doesn't Washington still have to go to Winnipeg?
Yes, and I think next week, I believe, on I think the 28th or no, the 26th, I believe.
25th. I have it in front of me here. That's a big boy night. Like, we're gonna have to lock in for that one, B. Huh. But Ethan, so I'm fully prepared to just dismiss last night's result, right? Like, this is the middle of a long road trip. When you're that far ahead, and their lead in both the division and the conference is bananas. I mean, they're up 12. They're up 12 in the division, and they're up, I don't know, 9 in the conference. How much do you think it helps that they have Ovi's record to kind of keep them focused? Or do you think at times the record is a detriment from having them just focus on beating everybody that day, that night?
So I'll answer your second question first. I don't think the record is a distraction within the locker room at all. And I think a main reason why is Ovechkin literally hates talking about it. Every time we bring it up to him, he's always first to talk about the team or his teammates. I'm sure it just gets annoying for him after being asked that pretty much every city he goes to and by us, the home media, whenever he's here. But I think him not bringing his own attention to the record allows the guys to play freely. I mean, you even look 2 days ago, he had a chance for that wide open net to close out Anaheim, and he passes it to Alexi Protas to get the hat trick. Like, if he was really, really hunting this record, which I do deep down believe he is, I think he's taking that shot. But that's a great move by the captain passing that off. I will go to your first question, though. I do think I got a little bit worried after they beat Pittsburgh, beat Edmonton out of the break. They dropped 3 in a row, and I was like, oh, maybe this is them hitting a little bit of a lull. After the break, they're up 10 points. There's really no one in striking distance of catching them in the Metro. But then they ripped off 5 straight wins. So it seems like every single time they hit a little lull, Spencer Carberry and his group have an answer, and that's what they've been doing all year. So I have no reason to think that'll stop moving forward.
And Spencer, yeah, he could be using those little lulls like that as motivation. Like, hey, man.
Sure.
We had that slide, but look what we did last time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's only, I think, 18 or 16 games left. So, I mean, he's got to heat up a little bit if he wants to get the record this year. And I feel like he really wants it this year.
Yeah, I think a guy like Ovi would want that out the way. You know, like JP mentioned it yesterday, getting to the playoffs and all you focus on is, let's go get this win. Let's go get a cup. Not, oh, man, we fell short this year.
Yeah, and I think the last thing he wants is to be like 1 or 2 goals away and have to wait 3 months to come back and potentially break that record. I think he just wants to get it done, and I think he wants to get it done with a few games to spare, like you said, because I don't think they want to be going into that Islanders and Pittsburgh game, the last two to end the year, with people wondering if Ovi's going to break the record. I think they want to be fine-tuning things, getting ready for whoever their first-round opponent's going to be.
Dude, I almost wonder if they want to be able to rest Ovi a couple games. Like, I think the 13th against Columbus is the night. Because if he can break it, then you just chill those 2 games before the playoffs. I don't even know if that's how it would all shake out. Beyond Ovi, though, because what's crazy about this team is that it's so much more than just Ovechkin. As much as he's leading the charge, and I think his leadership, like his locker room presence, is wildly important too. But they're getting, I mean, truly career seasons from a number of guys that look like they have turned a corner. You think about McMichael or Protas. Like these dudes seem like not only are they having these career seasons, but this might be who they are going forward.
Definitely, especially Protas, like you mentioned. Last year, they signed him to a 4-year extension, and everyone at the time was like, what are they doing? He hasn't shown anything. He only scored 6 goals last year. He has more points this year than he had in his career combined entering the year, which is just crazy. And McMichael, too, he's having a great year. 23 goals, 28 assists. Those are both career highs. And everyone likes to talk about how Pierre-Luc Dubois and Logan Thompson and all the other additions they brought from the outside are the main reason this team is in first place. And yeah, those players have been great, but I mean, if without Protas and McMichael taking that next step forward, I don't know where this team would be. And I think they've been as important as anyone.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And, I mean, the goalies, the goaltending's been phenomenal, too. Both guys, really. I get that you've got to kind of have a leader in the clubhouse in LT, but Lindgren's been really good when he plays.
Yeah, he had one save last night where literally was doing the splits, went off his blocker. And, I mean, that game was 3-0. Probably looking back, it's not one that they really are going to look at fondly, but it could have been 4-5, 6-0 if Lindgren didn't make a few stellar saves, too.
Wow. That's crazy. Are the Kings that good, or is it just an off night?
I think the Kings are really good. They're young, they're fast, and they play great defense, which is just a recipe to win a lot of games. I mean, they don't have the star power that some of the other teams in the West do, like Edmonton or Dallas, etc. But, I mean, every time you go to L.A. or face the Kings in general, it's going to be a tough, probably a low-scoring matchup. And I think that's the type of brand of hockey that wins in the playoffs. So I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs. I don't think they're one of the elite teams in the NHL, but I definitely think they could win a series or two just because of how disciplined they play and honestly just how good they are protecting their own net.
We'll just focus on a get-right game tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go score a touchdown in San Jose.
Do that.
Yo, Ethan, while I got you, and everybody should give him a follow at Ethan_Cadeaux, CADEAUX. You know, you do the caps year round, but in the fall, you're at Commanders all the time. You're at the games. You're at practice. What have you thought of their offseason here?
I love the Laremy Tunsil trade. I feel like left tackles like that, five-time Pro Bowlers, just don't get moved. A little bit skeptical as to why the Texans would trade him. I assume it's just because they have to pay Stroud, Stingley, and those guys. Am I right there?
Mm. We hope.
I believe so, especially Stroud.
But I guess the biggest question mark when the numbers came out was Javon Kinlaw. I was a little skeptical at first. I mean, I listened to his press conference this morning, and, I mean, the intro pressers are usually fire fans up. I was a little motivated. I think he's going to be a good fit. I like what they're doing. I would like to see another addition in the receiver room. I like the Debo trade, but still think they need one more guy. Don't really think it needs to be like a Cooper Kupp or that level type player, but just someone else. Like losing Alamide Zaccheaus, I don't think it's a huge deal, but he did produce a lot last year where I feel like they'll need either Luke McCaffrey to step up or bring in one more guy.
Well, you said Kupp, and I wanted JP to know that Dallas is trying to sign him. From what a lot of sources are thinking, Jay.
I've heard Dallas. I've heard Denver, maybe. It sounds like he wants a lot of money, enough money that New England has all of the money, said thanks but no thanks.
That's why I was kind of shying away from him here.
Yeah, I think I'm in on it as a bargain.
Yeah.
I'm not in on it as a pricey item.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to go to Dallas with Tank Lawrence and Micah Parsons batting with each other online?
Yo, for real.
Hey, depending on how much money they give you.
EC, B-Mitch has been kind of a one-man band on Keenan Allen. How would you feel about Keenan Allen coming to town?
I like it. I mean, I feel like they need a guy who could route you up. I mean, Debo's not going to do that. Terry's a decent route runner, but he does a little bit of everything. Keenan seems like a guy that can really be good in the intermediate. I would like that. Also, in a similar vein, good route runner, I wouldn't mind bringing in Stephon Diggs if it's a decent amount of money. I mean, coming off the ACL, that's always a little skeptical, but playing for your hometown team, I would take a flyer on that as much as I would on Keenan Allen.
About you, B, with Diggs?
I mean, like I said, right price, I'll take a try.
I don't know. DC guys in DC, man. It's just, I don't know.
You played good at Maryland.
You did. You played good at good counsel. Shout out to Dennis Kane. I mean, you're not wrong, B. He definitely played good at Maryland. EC, appreciate your time, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me.
All right, take care, brother.
Ethan Cadeaux, you can give him a follow at Ethan Cadeaux. Ethan_Cadeaux. You know how I feel about underscores. They're stupid. CADEAUX.
I call a whole group of people stupid because they put an underscore.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.